pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good afternoon with liberty and justice for all. Welcome to Conservative Casual Friday. This is Vito Esposito sitting in for Andrew Harrod. It is Friday, and for you Catholics out there, don't forget it's still Lent. No meat today. No meat. I had my tuna fish sandwich today. My wife made a really good tuna fish with mayo and relish, and she even put shredded cheese in there. It was absolutely delicious on a wrap, on a low-carb heated wrap. So it's a good way to kick off the Friday. A little excitement in Washington, D.C. Senate Minority Leader Foghorn Leghorn, Mitch McConnell, 81 years old, tripped and fell at a Waldorf Astoria, Washington, D.C. hotel. Formerly, ironically, the Trump International Hotel, and he suffered a concussion. The 81-year-old McConnell was hospitalized for precautionary reasons. Joe Biden, the wicked man, did contact the McConnell family. Joe Biden, of course, is a lifetime member of the Good Old Boys Senate Club, responded within hours of McConnell falling, yet it's taken weeks for the wicked man Joe Biden to contact East Palestine, Ohio, after suffering one of the worst environmental disasters. But after all, the East Palestine residents do not belong to that exclusive uniparty system. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch and Pajama Media stated Mitch McConnell has fallen at a hotel in Washington and is currently in the hospital. Two questions immediately spring to mind, neither of which have answers at this point. Is this the end of the dreary McConnell era of establishment Republican Me Tooism? And is there some karmic relationship between Mitch's fall and his throwing Tucker Carlson under the bus and affirming the left's bogus January 6th insurrection narrative? So I love the way Robert Spencer articulated that. That was really good. This is the second time McConnell has tripped and fallen and injured himself. Back in 2019, McConnell tripped and fell at his home, fractured his shoulder. That's three U.S. senators now who are out. The newly elected Fetterman, age 53, is hospitalized. The 100-year-old Fossil Feinstein, she's actually 89, and now McConnell, age 81. So two Democrats down, one Republican down. Actually, there's no change in the U.S. Senate, 49-48 uniparty. You know, I said Joe Biden is the wicked man, and before I get started, I do like to read from the good old book, Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 19. Proverbs 6, verse 12 starts the wicked man. And this really aptly describes Joe Biden. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles with his feet. I mean, you can't argue with that one. He shuffles with, he points with his fingers. Yes, he points. Remember, you know, Antifa is just an idea. He points with his fingers. And don't forget it, I'm from Scranton. You know, I took popcorn behind a woodshed. Verse 14, perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. And boy, he has been sowing discord since January 21st, 2021. Verse 15, therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Well, he's actually stuttering his way to brokenness now. Verse 16, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination of him. 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, And boy, we hear Joe Biden, the wicked man's lying tongue on a daily basis, whether it was he attended a black church or he's Puerto Rican or he's Polish. And last week he was something else. And another one he was, you know, and then, of course, he lies continually. He has no knowledge of anything and yet has answers for everything. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil. And he runs to evil with supporting Iran, the theocratic regime, terrorist regime of Iran. We know that he and his Biden crime family have handsomely been rewarded by communist China. Verse 19, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren. And as far as sowing discord among brethren, I have to say this. Over the last, well, actually it started during the midterms. There was a phrase that was coined, extreme MAGA Republicans. You know, this was a phrase that was meant to malign Donald Trump and anybody who supported President Trump's pro-America agenda, who supported the United States of America. And the destructive Democrat Party devised that those three words, extreme MAGA Republicans. And now it's been resurrected once again after the midterm elections are complete. And Joe Biden, the wicked man, was uttering those three words yesterday in I would say a teleprompter reading, but he started shuffling around a little bit. And of course, then he started stuttering. But I find it interesting as well that the House Minority Leader, Hakeem Jeffries, he prefaces every tweet with the first three words of extreme MAGA Republicans. So it could be extreme MAGA Republicans budget, extreme MAGA Republicans New York, extreme MAGA Republicans blah, 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 extreme MAGA Republicans hate, you know, colleges. But anything that Hakeem Jeffries sends out, he prefaces it with extreme MAGA Republicans. And that's all by design. And so the Democrat Party has devised a system, the DNC, sends out their talking points, and their minions like Hakeem Jeffries and the wicked man Joe Biden now repeat this ad nauseum, as well as Robert Reich now is starting to include that in his speeches. There's a way to attack the Republicans. Now, you know, we all know that not all Republicans support the MAGA agenda or support President Trump. We're not sure if all Republicans support making America great. Instead, they support the uniparty system of making Americans dependent. Making Americans dependent, M-A-D. Hey, it's mad. And that's why Democrats are always mad. They want Americans dependent upon the federal government. So I just find it very interesting that suddenly, the terminology, the three words now are becoming a common thread with the Democrat Party. So watch it on Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, you know, watch the replies by Hakeem Jeffries. Watch the replies by, well, it's not Joe Biden because he's not smart enough to write his own tweets. So he has his handlers doing that. But also Robert Reich, you know, Mini Rob, he likes to also slam, you know, the wealthy. How do you like that, right? You know, it's always the wealthy that are the problem. So part of today's theme has to do with Atlanta, Georgia, and the protests in Atlanta. Remember, you know, this is another way to sanitize what's actually happening in America today. The sanitizing by the destructive Democrat Party is to embrace violence, and they embrace their violent arm of the party, Antifa. Antifa doesn't conduct protests. They are violent rioters. Okay, they are domestic terrorists. A friend of mine knows I don't watch Fox News. You know, I'll say it up front. And I know, you know, you get that, oh, you know, the Fox, I don't watch Fox News. But a friend of mine sent me Jesse Waters' monologue from the other night. And I do like the monologues by Jesse Waters. I like the monologues by Greg Gutfeld and by Tucker Carlson. And Jesse Waters, in this regard, sent out or had his show on the Atlanta Antifa attack. And I thought it was brilliant. Why? Jesse Waters actually nails it. And he's not afraid to pull any punches. And hopefully with a free press, if it continues, you know, I know that we are on the prefaces of the destructive Democrat Party Marxist abridging our freedoms of speech, our freedoms of the press, our freedom to peaceably assemble and to redress our government for grievances. But right now, there are still some out in the press who actually speak the truth. And Jesse Waters actually had a great monologue. And I'm going to play this one right now. I think it's 9 minutes or 8.5 minutes, but it's worth talking about because Waters' Antifa rant is just absolutely spot on. And there are many points in that that I'll expand on after the rant. So here it is.
The Fox News alert, Antifa is getting revenge.
This is a Cop City site. Construction vehicles are up in flames. There's a trailer for the construction crew about to be up in flames.
That was day one of Antifa's week of action. This has been simmering for months. Antifa was living in tree houses in the woods where police were building their new training center in Georgia. They called themselves the Forest Defenders. They say they're protesting environmental racism, but really it's about getting rid of cops. Antifa doesn't care about the environment. I haven't seen them in East Palestine, and we haven't seen them at the Jersey Shore protesting windmill whale murder. When police started kicking the Forest Defenders out of the trees, one of their members, known as Little Turtle, Tortuguita, started shooting at cops. A state trooper was seriously wounded, and Little Turtle was killed. And now Antifa is avenging Little Turtle's death. Antifa hid inside a group of peaceful protesters outside the construction site. They had comedy shows, music festivals. They even gave tours of the forest. And that's when things started turning mostly peaceful. Then 150 Antifa militants peeled off, changed into camouflage clothing and black masks, and stormed the construction site. The Antifa militants chucked bricks and Molotov cocktails at police, lit construction equipment ablaze. This was a highly organized attack, and it won't be the last. Antifa is getting stronger. They're international.
This is a national network, an international group of people that are organized to come to our state to undermine a public safety training center. All but two were from out of state, and 23 individuals have been charged with domestic terrorism.
More Antifa came from out of the country than from Georgia. One Antifa was from France, the other was from Canada. The rest were homegrown. An organized group with foreign nationals plotted and launched a sophisticated attack on police. Where was the FBI? This had been months in the making. You're saying Antifa is the only organization in the United States that the FBI doesn't have undercovers in? Here are the mugshots. Thomas Juergens went to Oxford University. He's a lawyer for the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, the group that makes a living calling conservatives extremists. They had a domestic terrorist on their payroll. And then there's Priscilla Grimm from New York, a 50-year-old Antifa foot soldier, a real beaut. We don't know what she does for a living, but she was part of the Occupy Wall Street deal a few years back, and she also says she enjoys gazing at graffiti. Timothy Bildois is a teacher from Massachusetts. Hey, Timmy. We have Emma Bagosh is a dancer from Connecticut. A dancer. I wonder what kind of dance she practices. We're going to keep digging in on these people because the media won't. Usually we find out these anti-capitalists are rich kids whose parents pay for everything. Antifa is like the media's mistress. They don't want anybody knowing about her. But the media's relationship with Antifa needs to be investigated. Antifa sent the media a guide on how they should cover their riots. Ready? Don't say officer-involved shooting. It makes cops look like the good guy. We don't want that. Don't trust police crime stats. It fuels fear-mongering because facts can lead to fear. Don't say words like criminal, robber, or dangerous. Those words are dehumanizing. And don't publish mugshots because it'll pop up when someone's Googling your name. And always use the right pronouns. That actually is something they told the media to do. Since when do domestic terrorists have a PR team? They torch a police station and then tell you how to cover it? And the media listens? You won't hear the word Antifa anywhere other than Fox. Neither Democrat senator from Georgia has said anything about this. That's because every Democrat's a revolutionary at heart. They have a soft spot for these radicals. They romanticize radicals. They've been doing it since the 60s. Democrats admire Antifa's effort, their idealism, but they don't admit it. They won't even acknowledge Antifa exists. So they watch their militants do their dirty work, take swings at MAGA, burn down buildings and attack police, and then play word games with you.
Antifa's an idea, not an organization.
Oh, you got it.
Not malicious.
That is true. There's violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa? That's happening in Portland right now? That's a myth.
We look at Antifa as more of an ideology or a movement than an organization.
Antifa has become an international terrorist organization. They attack police, trying to stop construction of a government building, and are being driven by a wicked ideology. But the Democrats can't define what a woman is, so we're not shocked they can't define Antifa. What does the White House say about this? Joe Biden says he loves cops, says he hates violence.
Dozens of people were arrested protesting the so-called cop city. Is the president aware of this, and is the White House worried about this escalating?
Wait, say that again. What was the protest?
The protest was, it's a facility, a training facility that's being constructed.
We have not been, I have not heard any discussions about this protest over the weekend, so we'd have to go back to the team and see where we are, where we're standing, and a response on that. Just, this is the first time I'm hearing about this protest over the weekend.
Binder's never heard of it, folks. It wasn't in her binder. The binder doesn't have a myth section. Antifa's kind of like fentanyl. If the Democrats don't acknowledge it, it doesn't exist. Joe even talked to firefighters today. He didn't bother to mention the fires Antifa lit in Georgia. He didn't thank the brave men who put them out. Joe just repeated the same made-up story about how a lightning bolt hit a pond, traveled underground, and blew up his house.
When I was down doing the last show with Tim Russert, Meet the Press, the last show he had done, lightning struck in a pond behind my house, went up underneath the conduit, caught fire underneath the floorboards of my house. And it was during the summer, air conditioning was on, smoke that thick, all three stories. The reason I can assure you that is because every piece of furniture had to be replaced because of the smoke. But guess what? My fire company was there to go in and save my wife, get her out, the cat, and my 67 Corvette.
Oh, at least the Corvette survived. Our nation's secrets are safe. After Antifa attacked a federal courthouse in Portland for three straight weeks, Biden never said a word, and then dropped half the charges once he took office. When rioters burned down cities across America after Floyd, Kamala bailed them out, including a convict who went on to murder somebody. If the rioters in Atlanta were wearing red hats, I think Joe'd be taking Air Force One down to Georgia right now. The FBI would have a field office and a treehouse. The media would be camped out in front of the construction site 24/7. They'd be telling every Republican, condemn, condemn, condemn. They'd say there's a domestic terrorism problem in the GOP. They'd have hearings for months and try to pin it on who's ever leading for 2024. But none of that's happening because they're the left's muscle. The same guy who says police need more training doesn't blink an eye when a terrorist group torches a police training site.
We have to do better. Give law enforcement the real training they need.
Call a fresh approach to recruit and how we recruit, how we hire, how we train.
You can't back the blue and back Antifa at the same time, even if Antifa is just an idea.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey.
So that was Jesse Waters' rant the other night concerning Antifa and how phony the left wing, how phony the Democrats, how phony Joe Biden is. Still you know, isn't it amazing? Jean-Pierre has an answer for everything, but then she has to flip through her book of notes to find out about Antifa, throwing Molotov cocktails at police, throwing bricks at police, destroying a public training facility under construction, and she is unaware of it happening. I mean, what the hell is going on at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? I mean, are they that ignorant or that stupid, or are they both? You know, Democrats have a soft spot for their Antifa terrorists. Antifa is an idea, and you heard the wicked man Joe Biden in that one quick clip when he was scolding President Trump during debate, and he was pointing his finger as a wicked man does. He points with his finger, and he said, Antifa is an idea. Or Jerry Nadler, the author of How We Resist Trump, which was designed to derail President Trump's presidency. But Jerry Nadler of the destructive Democrat Party stated that what happened in Portland and the upper Northwest with regards to Antifa seizing the cities for 90 days is a myth. It was just a myth. And then Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, also stated that Antifa is an idea, simply an idea. And interestingly, a Southern Poverty Law Center employee was involved with this idea, a lawyer at that. The Southern Poverty Law Center likes to sell itself as a civil rights movement who tracks and exposes hate groups and conservatives, other domestic extremists. Well, they've done a poor job in tracking and exposing domestic extremists, considering that it was one of their own employees who is a domestic extremist, a terrorist, and a member of a hate group. Sorry, he's a member of a hate idea group. Because we're now being told the narrative, the convenient narrative by the left wing, if they want to address Antifa at all, is to call it an idea. George Soros had an idea to fund an idea. Can you hear Kamala Harris? Well, the Democrat Party has an idea to fund an idea that we have an idea to be protest with an idea. Antifa doesn't care about the environment, and we've seen that, as Jesse said, in East Palestine, Ohio, and in New Jersey with whales, you know, being caught by this new windmill con under the green scam movement, the global green scam movement. Oh, and what a surprise. Antifa hid inside a group of peaceful protesters. Now, where have we heard and where have we seen that happen? It's happened time and time again. It happened in January the 6th. They hide inside of a peaceful protest. And then when the time is right, they remove themselves from this peaceful protest and they strike. But the idea of Antifa is to embed itself as a means of distracting, and then at some point they go violent. Because that's what they do. They are the muscle of the Democrat Party. They are the muscle of the left. As the Antifa idea, they did throw bricks at police, and they did that like the Palestinians do to the IDF and the Jews in Israel. So you know where they get their ideology, their idea. I can remember being in, Al and I were in Spain, in I think it was Barcelona, and the idea in Antifa, they suddenly broke out in a march down the middle of the street, and the police cordoned off the street, and the ideas just simply walked down the street. They were chanting something else. They were holding up communist signs and communist symbols, but that's the idea. The left-wing anti-American politicians call Antifa an idea. Joe Biden, the wicked man, yelled at President Trump during a debate, angrily pointing his finger and stated, Antifa is an idea. Yes, an idea manufactured by the destructive Democrat Party. The idea of undermining the rule of law. An idea of promoting violence and anarchy. Like defund the police, wherever you heard that. This is priceless. The blowhard Biden regime claimed they did not hear about the so-called protests in Atlanta. They didn't hear about the protest in Atlanta. They didn't hear about, remember Joe Biden said he didn't know that the FBI raided President Trump's Mar-a-Lago. I didn't hear about that. I saw it on the news. Oh, so you're deaf, dumb, and you're stupid. It's more lies, okay? And of course, they call the idea now a protest, throwing bricks at police and firebombing a construction site, damaging tractors and trailers. That simply is an idea. That's simply a protest. That's a riot, by the way. That's violence. That's terrorism. Now, the princess of propaganda, Jean-Pierre, did not hear about the protest in Atlanta, and you heard her fiddling through her binder, and she was looking for those notes. How is it that the White House doesn't hear about a violent uprising, a violent riot in Atlanta? A police officer was shot. They returned fire, not the same day, and they killed a protester, right? No, they killed a terrorist. Are you buying those lies? Because I certainly aren't. When have we ever seen such an ignorant, uninformed White House? Selective lies from the White House and their princess of propaganda press secretary. Why were there not any notes about this protest in our binder? You know, another thing, this is an act of terrorism. And it's referred to as a protest. This is how the left wing sanitizes violence from the muscle of their party. Call it a protest. Call it an idea. It was more violent in Atlanta at that compound than it was on January the 6th. And how does the White House not know about this? How? It's plausible deniability. Or is it due to Joe Biden's frail condition and lack of mental acuity? He can't be given too many issues to process, such as the Democrat Party's violent arm conducting a violent terrorist attack. So pick and choose your news. Now, why would the White House acknowledge their party's muscle violent arm engaged in white supremacy? Engaged in domestic violence, right? Because remember, there was no cries either of white supremacy. If you have had a chance to look at the mugshots of the individuals, there's a lot of white supremacists there. Foreign ones at that, too. Now, the princess of propaganda, Jean-Pierre, goes deaf, dumb, and blind, and it's convenient. A protest. That's what a Democrat Party-endorsed domestic act of terrorism is called. A protest. No knowledge, no outrage. No outrage by the two U.S. senators from Georgia. Both are left-wing radicals. Warnock, a Marxist. Violence, right, against colonialism is one of the foundations or the principles of the Marxist movement. No outrage from the President of the United States who stutters about the rule of law. You know, the rule of law is simply a meaningless slogan, an empty cliche by the destructive Democrat Party, including the wicked man Joe Biden. And hell, to today, there are still no cries or whines or exploitation of white nationalism or white supremacy in terrorizing the Atlanta police. You know, the Democrat Party loves to use, the left wing loves to use the term white supremacy and white nationalism. Everything is white. Everything is racist. White climate nationalists. White climate environmental nationalists. I mean, you could use all those cliches. There is no reference to white nationalism or white supremacy, which tells us even further that the cause is made up by the left wing. The separation of Americans by the left wing is intentional. And the use of the term to malign and silence conservatives, people on the right, is intentional by the left wing. They do the same thing the Muslim Brotherhood does. Muslim Brotherhood came up with the term Islamophobia, which is meant to silence people who dare to question the Islamic movement within the United States or around the world. The terroristic acts of Islam, 19 Muslim men flew planes into buildings, you know, in New York City and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and also in Washington, D.C. Can't talk about that. You're in Islamophobia. Oh, I'm going to. So the left wing does the same. You're a white supremacist. You're a white nationalist. Well, I looked at those mugshots, and every one of those persons, with the exception of possibly one, were white. So where are the cries by the left wing about white supremacy attacks? Ah, it was members of their own party. It was left-wing radical domestic terrorists, so they're not referred to as white supremacists. Those domestic terrorists are an extension, an arm of the destructive Democrat Party. Antifa is a subsidiary of the Democrat Party. Antifa is the extreme element of the Democrat Party. Atlanta Police Chief Darren Schreibaum, said he has been clear on what a protest is versus violence. And the legitimate protest would have the full protection of the Atlanta Police Department. That's pretty good. That's a great statement, as a matter of fact. Legitimate protest would have the full protection of the Atlanta Police Department. And he didn't say whether it was right-wing or left-wing protest, a legitimate protest. Because that's what the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution guarantees, speech. You may not like it. People in Kansas City didn't like it when the Ku Klux Klan had the right to march down their streets. What is, again, we may not like that, but legitimate protests have the full protection of the police department. Instead, Schreibaum said the incidents on Sunday were criminal activity. This is not a protest. This is criminal activity, and the charges that will be brought forth will show that, he said. Both Schreibaum and Carr have highlighted to the media this week that the majority of suspects detained on Sunday were not from the state of Georgia, let alone Atlanta. Of the 23 charged, two were from the Peach State. Of course, one was an employee of the Southern Poverty Law Center, an attorney, by the way, at that in Florida. Yeah. You know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, who likes to malign conservatives, likes to be the arbiters of hate, and yet they have somebody who hates inside their own organization. We have video of all these individuals, and we continue to investigate this case based on the facts and evidence that we have. And we will hold everybody accountable that is engaged in violent activity. This is not peaceful protest, Carr said Monday on Fox News, America's newsroom. Protesters use words. Rioters use violence. And again, in Georgia, you can be charged with domestic terrorists for engaging in this type of behavior. The attacks on Sunday spurred Republican Georgia Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene to announce she will introduce a resolution that would formally designate Antifa as a terrorist organization. Boy, it's a good thing Nancy Pelosi is not Speaker of the House, because she'd relegate her to the basement. She's not going to get one Democrat to sign on for the muscle arm of the Democrat Party to be designated a terrorist organization. Antifa are domestic terrorists, and I'm introducing my resolution to officially declare them a terrorist organization on Tuesday, the congressman wrote in a tweet on Sunday night. This is domestic terrorism. It was planned for weeks and announced on social media. Antifa are self-proclaimed communists and consistently organized to attack our government over and over again. Be taken seriously and not tolerated anymore, Taylor Greene said. And she's absolutely correct. She is absolutely correct. As is the sheriff, as is Carr. Protesters use words. And we've seen the protests, both right and left, in Washington, D.C. The Million Man March, you know, these words. Right to Life uses words. I Have a Dream, it was using words. But the violence from the rioters in Atlanta at the compound, that's violence. That's domestic terrorism. Now, you know how phony members of the Democrat Party are. We saw that from the White House and the White House press secretary. And once again, the DNC is instructing their members to use certain terms. So we shall see how they will attempt to censor Marjorie Taylor Greene in bringing forth a bill. When she brings forth our bill in declaring Antifa a domestic terrorist. And we already know how the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, Chuck Schumer, will feel. The Antifa terrorists in Atlanta have been released on $5,000 bond. Yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center attorney, an attorney working for the Southern Poverty Law Center, engaged in domestic terrorism in Atlanta, was released on $5,000 bond. And yet, people who were in Washington, D.C. on January the 6th, who entered the U.S. Capitol, many are still in jail. Many have been placed in solitary confinement. Their Sixth Amendment right has been abridged by this administration, by the United States government. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. Those people on January 6th, the majority of them, were trespassing at worst. And they're still in jail. And yet, Antifa rioters can engage in domestic terrorism. They can destroy property. They can attack law enforcement, Molotov cocktails and bricks, and they're out on $5,000 bond. Now, I try to look up the state's attorney. They call it a district attorney in DeKalb County, and where I believe the Atlanta Public Works facility is. It's a Sherry Boston. She was elected in January of 2017. Did not find any ties at this point to George Soros. But, of course, with the defund police movement that's going on around the United States and the laxed law that is being applied to these criminals, these left-wing criminals, boy, I'll tell you, it's just, it's absolutely incredible what we're seeing. $5,000 bond versus those on January 6th who entered the United States Capitol. And now we're finding out through video, okay, through we the people, okay, are now seeing actual footage of this so-called insurrection that occurred at the United States Capitol. Now, we can see footage of the Atlanta Public Works Facility and how the Antifa domestic terrorists destroyed property through Molotov cocktails, through bricks at police, okay? They damaged, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of construction equipment. 23 people have been arrested. There was at least 150 there, I believe. And yet, we the people are not allowed to see video from January 6th at the United States Capitol. We were given clips that were chosen by Nancy Pelosi's partisan panel. And we were supposed to accept that. We're supposed to accept what the government, what information the government is giving us. And how dare you the people, we the people, question what is being spoon-fed to us by the government. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. Now, one would think with a career politician such as, I don't know, Chuck Schumer, who's been a lifetime member of government, who now is the Senate majority leader, you would think that he understands what the U.S. Constitution means. And obviously, listen, these Democrats and Republicans, the Uniparty, they understand the U.S. Constitution. They just don't want us, we the people, exercising those rights. And they're going to find a way to abridge those rights. And ever since Joe Biden was installed in the White House, this new phrase of disinformation and misinformation is being used. It's being used by Biden. It's being used in America by American politicians. And it's being used by the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization and the United Nations, the New World Order. And it's somehow interesting over the last 26 months how the term disinformation and misinformation now has made it into a common vernacular in the United States of America. And so here's Chuck Schumer now, okay, who apparently doesn't understand what the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states and what rights are granted to we the people. Because remember now, the United States government is going to tell us how to think.
The majority leader of the United States Senate called for a journalist to be censored because that journalist was airing a story that disproved the senator's lies. Take a look at this.
These lies continue tonight. Rupert Murdoch, who has admitted they were lies and said he regretted it, has a special obligation to stop Tucker Carlson from going on tonight, now that he's seen how he has perverted and slimed the truth, and from letting him go on again and again and again. Not because their views deserve such opprobrium, but because our democracy depends on it.
Also, Senator Chuck Schumer said that the lives of his staff, the lives of people in the Capitol were put in danger. This is part of the enormous lie. This narrative that the left propagates that this was a deadly insurrection.
The lies that the left propagates. Democracy. Do you hear Chuck Schumer? This is what the left wing has adopted. This is what the Uniparty has adopted, democracy. They cannot refer to the United States of America as a constitutional republic, a representative republic. if the Democrats utter the words Republic, it's too close to Republican. And as Jesse Waters said earlier, you think about it. The Antifa sent out talking points to the media. You know, you can't say officer-led shooting because it sounds too positive for law enforcement. And likewise, with the Democrat Party, they have to use the term democracy. One, because it sounds like Democrat, but the other is they can't use the term republic because it sounds too much like Republicans. And if you look at the U.S. Constitution, it does state that our founders formed a Republican form of government. Now, at the time, there was not a Republican Party. But you see, this is the play on words with the Democrat Party, the destructive Democrat Party. You have the Senate Majority Leader calling for the censorship of a journalist because that government official doesn't agree with the opinion of a journalist. This is exactly what our founders were afraid of. They didn't want a totalitarian form of government. They didn't want an authoritarian form of government. Hell, not even George Washington wanted to be noted as a king of the United States. He didn't want anything to do with the monarchy. And now you have Chuck Schumer, who is probably, what, the second leader of the Democrat Party, calling for journalists to be censored in the United States of America? Chuck Schumer should be censored. He should be censored by the United States Senate for having the government abridging the right to free speech, for having the government abridging the right of journalists in the United States. Where was Chuck Schumer calling for the disinformation back in 2017, 2018? I mean, it's sickening what we're seeing today and how brazen the Democrat Party leaders are calling for speech control in the United States of America. You know, back in from 2009 to 2016, it was overlooked that the Obama-Biden administration used the IRS to go after a journalist. Yes, that journalist was at Fox News, James Rosen. They used the IRS to go after James Rosen and his family. Why? Because James Rosen was challenging the narrative, the false narrative, the lies of the Obama administration. The Obama administration sought to eradicate the Tea Party from any existence. They used the IRS, and they were successful in doing so. That gave them power. If they have the power to silence a Tea Party movement, they have the power to silence journalists. They now have the power to dictate a narrative, to dictate what is disinformation and misinformation. Hell, Biden and his minions, because Biden is not smart enough to do this on his own. And that is why the Obama holdovers now are all part of his inner circle and his regime. And the Biden regime sought to start this Ministry of Truth under the Department of Homeland Security. And the government is going to determine what speech is acceptable. And at this point in our time, the government's narrative on the January 6th events are what should be acceptable under the United States government's mind. They don't want anybody else looking at this or any further. Now, I haven't seen all the video footage that was put forth by Tucker Carlson. But they looked at over 40,000 hours of video footage, and they didn't have to splice together anything. They didn't have to create a narrative. Hey, look at this. Oh, look at this. Remember that police officer that was that the narrative was that he was killed after being hit with a fire extinguisher. Well, here he is after he's dead. And here he is walking around the Capitol. Here he is helping people. Well, how is that false news? How is that? How is it that we see video footage now of Ray Epps actually inside of a group that's removing a barrier, egging people on, and yet Ray Epps is nowhere to be found in jail? Hasn't been arrested. But if you're a grandmother who's from Minnesota and happened to travel on January 6th to Washington, D.C., and you got caught up in walking into the Capitol after the Capitol Police removed the barriers and escorted you in, you were arrested based on facial profiling, facial recognition. And somehow we have to accept that narrative. And then, of course, everybody saw the guy with the horns. That video is priceless. Here we are. We've been told what kind of an extremist the man with the horned hat is. Yo, what kind of a violent insurrectionist he is. And then we're watching video of two Capitol Police officers escorting this man around and say, well, you can't go in here. The door's locked. Okay, we'll find you another entrance. We'll find you another entrance. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're committing a criminal act, especially on the United States Capitol grounds, I've seen police officers take people down. And if you're not supposed to be in the right place, I don't know, like let's say you try to walk through the gate at the White House, don't you think you're going to be taken down by the Secret Service? You see, and this doesn't fit the narrative. And the Democrat Party wants you to buy their narrative. We're supposed to adhere to the partisan Pelosi panel's narrative. And now the majority leader of the United States Senate is calling for the censoring of speech and the censoring of a journalist, abridging that journalist's First Amendment right to free speech and the freedom of the press. And the First Amendment of the Constitution states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. What exactly are we seeing today happening in the United States of America? We have politicians, career politicians, lifelong politicians now, who are perverting the Constitution, who have no problem in abridging our constitutional rights, contrary to what our founding fathers put in place, including freedom of speech, including freedom of the press, including the freedom to peaceably assemble and to redress our government for grievances. The president, the Senate Majority Leader, has endorsed abridging your First Amendment rights. It's Tucker Carlson this week, Jesse Waters next week, Greg Gutfeld next week. I mean, where does it stop? Well, that was a quick hour. I mean, holy crap, I didn't realize it down to 4 minutes. So, hey, if you're still into Blog Talk Radio today, please check out Southern Sense Talk Radio with Annie and her great co-host, author Curtis Bennett. They're on Blog Talk Radio. They start at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So as soon as this show is over, you can head over to check out Annie at Southern Sense Talk Radio. She'll have a bunch of guests on there. We have other shows here on Global Patriot Radio, including tomorrow night, Saturday, you've got Minister Sam Adakduck and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, You got Eric from Kafiristan with The Cross and the Crescent. Monday, Al and I at Mama Mia No Sharia will be back at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, you got Hank Jones and Polly Sports at 5:30 Eastern Time. And then you've got Hankerings on Thursday. Once again, please join Annie at Southern Sense Talk Radio. I thank you all for joining me today. We'll keep an eye out as things unfold in Atlanta and certainly as they unfold in Washington, D.C. We'll have to find out if there's any backlash with regards to what Chuck Schumer is seeking to do, and that is to abridge our Bill of Rights, our constitutional rights here in the United States. This is not what our founding fathers wanted. This is not what our founding fathers formed. And it is absolutely reprehensible that a sitting member of Congress, a leader of the United States Senate, would demand the removal of a journalist based on contrary or, based on opposing points of view. That's what makes the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution great. But unfortunately today, under the Marxist mentality who wants to dismantle our constitutional republic, they can't have any opposing views. They, the Uniparty, must dictate to you and me what that opinion should be. And if you should have a differing of opinion, you are a radical, you are an extremist, you're a MAGA Republican. Well, thank you, folks. You all be safe out there. Enjoy your weekend. I'm going to turn on the Players, and PGA is in Ponte Vedra, Florida, Jacksonville. The weather's beautiful. Some of the stars are falling like a rock, but we'll check it out. So you all be safe out there. Thank you for joining me today. God bless you all. Bye. Or ciao for now.
I've laughed and cried. I've had my fill. Share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all of that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no,
no,
oh no, not me.
I did it
my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the thing he truly.
Ciao for now.